Our Bible reading for this morning is Ephesians chapter 3. So if you could please turn to that portion, Ephesians chapter 3. And for today we'll read verses 1 through 12. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you would, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 to 12. Amen. The subject of confidence today. Where is my confidence? Isn't it ironical that sometimes when you feel confident about something, when you're there at the moment, you don't feel very confident? And the Lord seems to bring to that point of saying, you need to trust in me and you need to rest and depend, and I am thy strength and thy power. And I need to be saying, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. So as we come to this subject of where is my confidence, let's pray together, shall we? Our loving Father, we do pray for thy ministry to each of our hearts. Pray for thy strength and power. Thank you for thy promises that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Father, just pray for thy ministry. Pray for thy word, for thy power, thy strength, and for the word of God to have its impact today. We realise that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we do pray for the ministry to our hearts today, that life-changing word to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard someone say recently, after a grief-filled situation, I've lost my confidence. And so the question came to my mind, where is my confidence? I was joking with the Sunday school class this morning. I was thinking about, where is my memory? I remember a dear quaint children's book about a decade or two ago, and it was a quaint one. It was about a dear lady. It was a picture book. It was for young children, and I was reading it to some children. It was about a dear lady who'd lost her memory, and she was going through this. It was a book. It was fiction, but it was so real. It was so real about, where is my memory? This morning I blundered a few times, and the Sunday school class is sworn to secrecy. Now, they're not really sworn to secrecy, but I lost my memory. There are a few lapses this morning, but they understand, and acknowledgements were duly given. But where is my confidence? And today we'd like to just look at some thoughts of lost confidence, misplaced confidence, and the confidence that is needed in Christ, and to have strong confidence to the end. That whole thought of confidence. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, that will be our key verse, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And as we shared in the table thought, it's all about boldness and access that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we have that boldness and access, and it's with confidence by faith in him. And truly we need to be depending upon that. But lost confidence. I know that at that time of an accident, someone can respond and say, I'll never drive again. The loss of health, I can't go on. That work difficulty, I'll never find another job. That failure, I always bomb out. That tiredness, I won't be able to endure. I can't cope. That angry reception we've received, I'll never try and talk to another person ever again in my whole life. The accusation, I always get the blame. What's the use of trying anymore? Age, and I know that when strength wanes, the comment can be, I can't do it. It's not worth the effort. I'd rather go. That whole confidence, and I know that confidence can be lost in more specific things, or I know it can be over a more general perspective, but we can lose our confidence. And it does have an impact, because it brings about discouragement, and these were just a few thoughts that came to my mind. It brings discouragement. Oftentimes loneliness, because we feel that no one understands. No one understands. The fear of even trying again, because we want to succeed and we don't want to have a failure again. There's that low view of oneself. There's that tendency to withdraw and to become isolated, that lack of effort. And when we do something, it's half-hearted because we're just very sensitive about not wanting to put a foot wrong, and it's not confident at all. It strains relationships because people don't seem to understand. We make disparaging comments about ourselves that, you know, I've lost it, I can't cope, I've lost all that pertaineth to confidence. I was talking with a brother about this, and he said that it's even of greater impact if there's been trust broken with someone else, and that we've been broken in that trust with someone, and we just lose our confidence to want to talk to anybody because of that broken trust that's happened. One can look at confident people and say, he, she has it all. Why aren't I like that? Because the despair, the depression, the impact of it is far-reaching within the heart of that person. But of course it affects work, it affects family, it affects community, it affects life in general, it affects ministry and service, it affects witnessing, because if somebody is just in that state of losing of confidence, they don't want to go out and step out. They are there within a very withdrawn situation. And in a sense, it has a domino type effect of my confidence has been lost. The answer to that, and some say that confidence should be directed in these areas like the flesh or self or in men, and in a sense, I've called these misplaced confidence, because we can sometimes go to a reactionary path of trying to find answers outside of ourselves to find where the answer is to that confidence. And some people try to resolve the confidence problem by having confidence in the flesh. And they say, but look at yourself, look at your personal qualities. Look at your heritage, look at your stock. Look at your credentials, look at your abilities. Look at all that you have and be confident. And they try to bring it round to the point that in the flesh you should have that confidence in those things that pertaineth to you, those personal qualities. The Apostle Paul had many of these things because he had the stock, the heritage, the position, the credentials, the status, the training. He had all things that pertaineth to success, but he said, I don't want to have confidence in the flesh. He said, that's not the answer. And if you could please turn over a few pages to Philippians chapter 3, because in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul shares his heart on this whole matter, that he had all of this, and yet he said, that, I believe, is not the answer to this whole confidence situation. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But the Apostle Paul's conclusion was, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He counted them but loss. Because he saw that he had all these things. He had the status, and he could have made it, but it was within himself and his dependency upon the Lord. And that's what we're going to ultimately come to, because he realised that he had to have his focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on him alone. The answer was not in the flesh. That word confidence is my assurance, my confirmation, my persuasion is in the flesh. So to cope in life, everything is based upon my credentials and my status and my heritage. Everything. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. And that's what he's saying here about the flesh. If I look at those things, which are those personal factors, then I'm, and some people depend upon those things. Don't question me. And they come back to the what they have in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul was saying that can be misplaced, because in the long duration, in the spiritual warfare, in life itself, those things are transitory, those things are passing. It's your confidence that's going to be in Christ that is going to count and endure and see you through. He's the Creator, He is the Master, He's our Saviour, He's our Redeemer, He's our Sustainer. And all our life is in Him, and our confidence is in Him. And sure, we can be grateful for all those factors, but we are not to have that confidence in that we eliminate God from our lives. It cannot be. Some say, let's build up the self. And they go down the direction of self-confidence. And in education, it comes through quite commonly. Let's move down this pathway of self-confidence. And you can understand it when you see that withdrawn, beaten, discouraged, and often tried, often, okay, so a trodden down situation of a child, and your heart aches for that one. And you say, come on, build some confidence within yourself. And you can understand this pathway of building up the self, because you understand it's an answer that I've got to build up that it's not my mum's confidence that's going to count. It's got to be my confidence. The one who's just had the stroke and has to learn to eat again. It's not the wife or the daughter or the son or the doctor or whoever. It's that person has to build the confidence to start doing again, to walk, to eat, to do whatever may be required. And so there's got to be that self-effort, that self-confidence that's building. It's not someone else's confidence, it's your own practical. You have to embrace that world of building that confidence. But yet it seems to go to an extreme where it's saying that, and I know it's merging into a difficult world, I understand. And I tried to clarify things by giving that introduction, I understand. But on the other hand, it's building up to a love yourself, it's appraising of yourself and seeing how good you are. And the whole emphasis comes down to self-confidence, that I can do everything. It's like the Apostle Peter, who was confident when the Lord said, I'll be forsaken and I'll go to the cross of Calvary. And Peter said, I'll not forsake you. And when the cock crowed, Peter wept because he knew he had denied the Lord thrice. He knew. And that was all part of self-speaking at that time. The dependence was upon his own self, on his own strength. And self, when we're reading the scriptures about self-denial and to curb the self-will, and then if we start to support the self, then we are building up the self and elevating the self. And I understand the context of I need to embrace a principle myself to practice riding that bike or whatever it is. I need to build that self-confidence. It can't be my brother's confidence that's going to help me ride that bike. And it's going to be practice. But yet, it's not to go to that that pathway of self-confidence that's a glamorising and a glorying that is in myself, and my dependency is upon myself, not upon the Lord. In the workplace and in places, goals can be met by people whose confidence builds, yes, but it can go to that other extreme where somebody is not abiding in the vine anymore. Someone is not dependent upon the Lord anymore. Someone is not denying oneself. Someone is a self-made man and living his life in himself, and he's become that self-confident person. And that person is waiting for that experience that's going to shatter him so that he'll be brought on his knees, that his dependency will be upon the Lord. Self-confidence is not the answer. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. And the fool does rage and is confident. And we see it out there. But they are self-confident, world-made men that are self-orientated, not God-conscious. And they need to realise that there is a Creator, there is a sovereign Lord with whom they need to give account, and they need to realise that their strength has to be in the Lord. Some put their confidence in men, and in Brother Chris prayed this earlier on, that in Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9, and if you could please turn with me in the book of Psalms, because there's a few references which help to provide a context here. But in Psalm 118, we read of the danger of putting confidence in man. In Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Then in verse 10 it talks about all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. And in a time of conflict, of battle, of warfare, we're so tempted to rely upon the arm of the flesh and to have confidence in men and princes, but really our confidence needs to be in the Lord. And He is the master, and these princes can be defeated, but our Lord is the master of that whole situation, and our trust needs to be in Him. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress, the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. The psalmist was depending upon the Lord. His confidence was not in men or princes. I appreciate counsel. I appreciate advice. I appreciate words of wisdom. And I'm continually receiving those words of wisdom and that direction. And you have to go to certain people for advice, whether it's medically, whether it's life decisions, whether it's financial decisions, whatever. You seek advice, family decisions, but you do not have confidence in those ones, looking at those ones specifically. No, my whole decision making is going to be on what I have been counselled. You must look at what the Lord is saying and bring the Lord into the picture. And in the light of it, that captain might be there, but your ultimate confidence is in the Lord. You praise the Lord for that one, but your confidence has to be in the Lord. And that's where it must be, because that one can go, but it's the Lord who remains forever. Trials, attacks, incidents will come, but it is more secure to depend upon the Lord and to have your trust and confidence in Him, not in men in that situation and context. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, not misplaced, not lost, but confidence in Christ. And if we could please turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and we look at a few thoughts from that portion. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. That word confident is persuasion, it's assurance, it's confirmation, it's trust. And like we shared at the table thought, it's that boldness or fearlessness or restraint removed that we can come unto the Lord. And our dependence is in the very God of heaven. Like I was saying right at the beginning, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Our dependence needs to be upon Him, not in our flesh, not in ourselves, not in others, but our confidence needs to be in the Lord, because those things are so variable. On this thought of conscience, if you could please turn over a few pages to Philippians chapter 1, and verse 6, no wonder the Apostle Paul likewise could say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As that confidence spiritually that the Lord who is ministering in your life is going to achieve it until the day of Jesus Christ. It will be accomplished. He is going to be working through in your life, ministering to you, convicting you, and drawing you closer to Himself, so that He may be glorified and honoured. And we need to be confident that the Lord is going to be ministering in my life, and that's why I've got those convictions and those challenges in life. Another portion, please, in 1 John and chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, we read about this is the confidence that we have in him, but reading the context here concerning salvation, we read in verses 11 and 12, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he will hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is the confidence of a relationship that is in the Lord. You know, he loved you, and he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord is ministering in your life if you know him as your Saviour from sin. If you're one here this morning and you know not Christ, then I challenge you to flee to Christ and know him as your Saviour from sin, even this day. He's able to save. And one of the dear brethren today was sharing about an Ali mum. And it's actually Ali's mum. And she went to New Zealand to testify concerning those truths of Jesus Christ. And it was a trip. It was a mission. And she prayed that the Lord would keep her mum until she arrived. And the Lord has sustained her mum, so she stands on rejoicing ground. But the primary point was that she was able to be there to share clearly and succinctly the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that he saves and him alone. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, we read of this same thought about confidence in verse 21, that we have we confidence toward God. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You see, God is greater than our heart. God knoweth all things. We have confidence in God. And we need to come before God, and we need to trust him and love him and serve him. And that's part of that living and blessed relationship that we can have in God. There's one scripture that talks about strong confidence. I realise that how can you have degrees of confidence? But here there's a context where it's strong confidence. And wow, I just want that mega confidence. That confidence that's just so centred in the Lord and him alone. But if you could please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. And Solomon wrote these words, and it was in the context of living in the fear of the Lord. And that is strong confidence. It's interesting that he identified that if you live in the fear of the Lord, you will have that strong confidence. And I've thought about that. If you see God and you hold him in awe and adoration and praise, and you have him as the master of your life, if you live not in dreaded, knee-shaking fear of God, it's that awesome acknowledgement of the greatness of God. But if you live in the fear of the Lord, then you will have that strong confidence. In other words, if you see God where he is, then your confidence will be in him and it will be strong. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And so, brethren, We need to see this pathway. It is living in the Lord to have that strong confidence in Christ. And that dying man to which I referred to after that hymn we sang before the table, one can be confident even in the day of death that the Lord knoweth my way and I commit my body and soul unto the Lord. And I know that my spirit is going to go to be with Christ, which is far better. And Lord, I surrender that body to thee now for thy glory and for thy honour. There can be a time when we can come in that confidence. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. I know we're doing a bit of a search around in the scriptures, but in Hebrews chapter 3, we read in verses 12 through 14 that verse 14 specifically, we read there of confidence that is steadfast unto the end. But reading the context, verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That steadfast confidence unto the end. We just pray for confidence that endures, and it endures to the end. Don't have a heart of unbelief. How unbelief can hinder us from doing even the will of the Lord. Someone can be asked to do something and we can say, I don't have confidence to do that. But is it the will of the Lord that you do it? Maybe it is the will of the Lord that you do it. And you need to say, Lord, in Christ I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. And that application can be made into the very practical. I don't believe after that that intellectual issue and that surgery that I've just had that I can walk again, but the doctors believe that I can. And I need to try. And we need to step out. And we need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you at this stage. You understand my frame. You understand my body. I'm depending upon the wisdom that prevails at this moment. I'm listening to that advice. And I want to move on for thee. And this word confidence here in Hebrews 3:14 is a different word. It's a standing under. It's like the quality of the confidence which helps one to stand. It's that confidence that is standing under like a foundation. It's that confidence that is enduring to the end because you're walking in the fear of the Lord and you're trusting in the Lord in all of those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about end of life even, and he introduces it by saying in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 6 and 8, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul had that confidence. Look, I'm confident that if I'm absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord. And the Lord can bring things into our lives that will engender that courage and that strength to do that which God calls us to do. His call are his enablings. The Apostle Paul was in bonds. And we read in Philippians 1:4 that the believers who knew of the Apostle Paul and the bonds that he was in waxed confident. Isn't that interesting? They knew of the beloved Paul. They knew he was in prisons. But they waxed confident. Maybe it was the testimony of the Apostle Paul and Silas too. I stand amazed at how, after being beaten and imprisoned, treated the way they were, at midnight they were singing those psalms of praise. Their hearts were going up to God. In the midst of the circumstances, there was confidence, because it was all centred in Jesus Christ and they were trusting the very God of heaven. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say that it's not in myself, it's not in the flesh. All those things don't count at this time. It's got to be in the Lord. And my faith has to be in the Lord. If you're discouraged or lacking in confidence, brethren, we need to get our thoughts on Christ. That's important. And just practical applications, implications, we've got to get our thoughts on Christ. Off ourselves. Because if we're dwelling upon ourselves and our feelings, it'll be woe is me. I don't know if you're there today. I don't know. I've been there many days. Woe is me. Because of my feelings. But I need to get my thoughts, my mind, on the Word of God and all that pertaineth to Jesus Christ, and not trust my emotions. My heart can condemn me for sure, but we can be unfaithful, but God is faithful to undertake for us and to build us up and to strengthen us. And we need to reflect on all that He has done. Get our eyes off ourselves and onto Christ. And we've got to get our thoughts on Him who has loved us and given Himself for us. He is the Creator, He is the Redeemer, He is the Sustainer, He is the one who loved us, He is the one who has forgiven us. It's been by His grace and mercy. It's for eternity that the Lord has provided for me, and I have the abundant life today. I have the robe of righteousness that I can have that entry, that access under the Lord. I've got to get my mind off my feelings, and I've got to trust the Lord. And I've got to take out that step of obedience by faith. And whether it's that witnessing, whether it's that service, whether it's riding that bike, whether it's learning how to eat again, whatever it is, you are saying, Lord, I want to step out by faith to serve You. And with children, in a sense, it's the same, because sure, there's got to be more of that support and that encouragement and that interest where that child's at. But it's the same thing, where they've got to get their eyes off their feelings, they've got to get their eyes on what God has done. That God is the Creator. God has made you exactly as you are. God has made you exactly as you are. And He's loved you and been crucified on the cross of Calvary. You are so precious to Him, dear child. And He wants you to take that walk, that step of faith, and to trust Him and to be confident in Him. Oh, brethren, may we just go forth in confidence for the Lord and for His glory and for His honour. Our trust is not in ourselves, but in the very Lord God of heaven. It's all in Him, and we give Him the praise and the glory. Amen. Let's pray.